Thanks for listening to the Journey podcast. We're glad you're here. Journey exists to engage people in the process of knowing Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast engages you and encourages you to become more like Him.
Man, good stuff. We've been in this series, and it's exciting. We're going to be doing baptisms. I think in first service we did 4 or 5 baptisms. I think we have 14 baptisms in this service, another 5 the next service, 3 or 4 down at Sherwood. So it's going to be a great day around here. But before that, we're going to continue in our series. I'm just going to take a couple minutes and talking about this Jesus is. And somebody asked me between services, so what was the purpose of this whole thing? And I said, it wasn't to take a theological look at who Jesus is. We do that all the time, right? We know theologically who Jesus is, but it's to take a look at the personality of Jesus, what he came to do for us, because there was an intentional purpose that he was sent to this earth is to do certain things. So that's what we looked at. Week one, we looked at Jesus is our provider, and Alan and Tracy looked at a passage of scripture, which it's a very familiar passage of scripture, a lot of us, but it's the feeding of the 5,000. And the one thing that I pulled out from it is that God is a more than enough God. He provides for us more than enough, not just the little stuff we need, it's the other stuff. And when they got done collecting the baskets, there was so much more than what they collected the very first time. Week two, I took a look at Jesus is the one who understands our weaknesses. And we took a look at Hebrews chapter 4, where it says specifically about we have a high priest that understands everything we go through. And one of the reasons Jesus was tempted in every way, so he could understand our weakness, so he can understand what we're going through. Last week, Caleb and myself had a great discussion about this thing called doubt, which amazing to me that from the time we started the first service to the time I literally walked up to on stage this last service, I've been getting emails about this thing, doubt. Lots of people struggle with this doubt thing. And today we're going to take a look at something that's equally as it's misunderstood, is Jesus is our Redeemer. Now I'm going to say this, that's a weird word, isn't it? Like, I don't ever walk up to my wife and say, you're my Redeemer. Like, my kids have never walked up to dad and, dad, the Redeemer. I wish they would. It'd be awesome. I want them to bow down while they're doing it too, but they've never done that. We see Redeemer actually in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth. If you've ever read the book of Ruth, Boaz is called our kinsman Redeemer. And it's the person that takes the place. It pays a payment for and it takes care of. That's literally what a Redeemer is. Now, I was interested because if you want to get the real reason, a real definition of Redeemer, you would have to look at Merriam-Webster, right? Because Merriam-Webster knows everything about every... This is what it says in Webster's dictionary. Redeemer means person who redeems. Yay. Didn't that clarify everything? Everything is clear right now what a redeemer is. Now, the next little line did get me because it says this, Redeemer, in all capital letters, it says Jesus. So even Merriam-Webster understands that Jesus was a redeemer. Since death was the punishment for sin, Christ died willingly in our place to deliver us from the power and penalty of sin and bring us back to God. That's what a redeemer does. Romans says it like this, for the wages of sin is death, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's saying that the world needs, because of death, the world needs, because of sin, the world needs a redeemer, and Jesus is that redeemer. So by his substitutionary atonement, atoning for death, he alone redeems us from hell. Forgiveness of our sins, and then ultimately we get to live in heaven in eternity. Now here's the age-old problem. Now maybe you don't have this one, I have, so I'm gonna admit that I have a problem. There's a lot of stuff out there. And it gets confusing at times. Anybody else want to, like, I hear this preacher say this. So a lot of times I would say, you know, there's a lot of confusing stuff. And we would go, yeah, you know, there's all these world religions. You know, you could be a Buddhist. You could be a Muslim. You can be, Jewish faith. You could be all the other thing. And you go, yeah, there's a lot of confusion there. But there's a lot of confusion even inside the church. Did you ever be watching or listening to someone? So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of different preachers. Did you ever just sit there listening to something? I had somebody say something between services. They said, you know, there was something you said last week that I just scratched my head. I said, what was it? Because there's lots of times I don't agree with me. You ever have that moment where you say something, you know, I don't even know if I agree with me. But you'd be listening to something and then you go, that's weird. That just doesn't make sense. Can you show me in the Bible where that is? You know, and there's so many different, like, it could be like worship style. It could be a certain preaching style. And you just go, something's amiss. Something's a little confusing here. I think we all would admit that the church has, there's some strange teachings in some places. I have a friend of mine. He rides a motorcycle, okay? Now, most of the time when you hear somebody say they ride a motorcycle, you're thinking something with these big ape hangers, right? You know, anybody know I'm talking about Harley Davidson? You're like, y'all leather on, right? It's a moped. He pulled up next to me at a stoplight, helmet. He had all leathers on, and I hear, and I just touched the gas pedal. I don't even think I touched the gas pedal, and I beat him off the line. There was nothing to it. But he said he stopped driving his motorcycle, and I was like, "Hey, man, like his, we'll call him Steve, because that's what his name is." So I said, Steve, why did you stop riding your motorcycle? He said, my pastor, he goes to a different church. He doesn't come here. He goes, my pastor told me that motorcycles are bad. And only people like Hell's Angels people ride motorcycles. It's a moped. And so he stopped driving his moped. And so I asked them a question. The question was, so why don't you sell it and get some money and get a car? Like, you know, maybe get one of them electric little, small little clown looking cars or something. And he said, my pastor told me I can't even sell it because I would sell it to bad people. And I'm thinking, is that in Hesitations chapter 3? Where is that in the Bible? Like, I must have missed that part in the Bible. And so there's lots of confusion. We have lots of problems. This is what Francis Chan says. And I love what Francis, how he says this. He says, I wonder if some of the things that happen in the modern church are even biblical. Like the things we do in our church, like, are they even biblical? Can we find them in the Bible? I went to the staff last week and I said, hey, we're going to do a series next January. That's how far in advance we get planned. But next January, it's going to be called Why. And it's going to be why we do so. Why do we raise our hands during worship? Why do we do that? You know, why do we have altar time? Why do we do that? Why do we give? Like if this is really God's church, he should just give and pour into this, right? Why do we have to give? Why do we do worship the way? Why do we do teaching the way? Why do we do baptism? Why? And there's so many things, and I love when Francis says that. He goes, you know, that I wonder. And so a lot of times in our church, we're going like, why are we doing this? Is this even in the Bible? I love the way C.S. Lewis said, he said this, what's happened in the modern church, now remember, he was, you know, 100 years ago, what happened in modern church, he goes, it's Christianity and something else. There's Christianity and this thing over here. I got Christianity, I'm gonna add Republican Party to it. It's Christianity and politics, or it's Christianity and this thing over here, postmodernism, or it's Christianity and we're gonna say it's contemporary worship, or it's Christianity and traditional worship, it's Christianity and genes, it's Christianity and whatever, you add it all in there. And you know what, here's why I stand on this. I don't want to ever preach Christianity and anything from this pulpit right here. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what we should be preaching. And so when we look at this and we look at the personality of Jesus, him being our Redeemer, what are we? Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, the best way to figure this out is go to Jesus himself. What does he say about himself? What did Jesus say about knowing God? What did Jesus say about believing in God? What did Jesus say about following God? What it looks like. So today, we're going to take one step forward in the next 15 or so minutes, one step forward in looking at that. And the first thing I want us all to get and understand is Jesus, our Redeemer, came to bridge the gap between us and God. If you miss that, you've missed everything. That's the essence of the gospel. That is what the gospel's about. John chapter 10. This is what Jesus in John chapter 10 says about himself. He says, those who have heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. He said, I tell you the truth. I'm the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. And then he says in verse 9, pivotal verse here. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pasture. Verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. Drop down to verse 14 if you have your Bible open. For I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know my Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice and they will be one flock with one shepherd. Jesus is saying out of his own mouth that he came proclaiming that he and he alone, it's the way we can get to heaven. Through no other means can we get to heaven. So there's not this, you know, this lie, there's this teaching out there that all paths don't lead to God. It's only one path. As a matter of fact, this is what he says. He says in John 14, 6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except for through what? me. So he didn't merely say and just merely teach. He didn't teach that I was the way. He showed us that he was the way. He didn't merely come just to teach us that he was truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't just come to tell us that he was life. He came to give us life and show us what life looks like. John 10:10, right? So here's the problem. This is the problem that every one of us this side of eternity deals with. There's a gap between us and God. Right? There's this huge chasm between us and God. It's a gap caused by sin. We've done this before. It's by birth and it's by choice. Somebody say, yes, I choose every day or almost every day to sin. You know, I was born into sin. You don't have to teach kids to steal stuff or lie or say a dirty word. They do it all by them. Well, some of the dirty words they learn from you. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying? You don't have to teach. It's in their nature because it's by birth. And then there's the ones that we choose to do these things. God didn't create the distance. We created our own. And many times what happens is we have chosen to take our own path rather than his path. I asked first service a show of hands. How many people have ever had a moment in their life where they knew that God was telling them to go this way, but they went this way? Raise your hand if you have ever had that moment. Even Jesus, we talked about this, that Jesus understands our weakness. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's this pivotal moment that's happened. He goes, I don't want to do what you want me to do. Like, if this cup can pass from me, can you please let it pass from me? And then he says, okay, not my will, but your will be done. That's a battle that all of us, every person in this room deals with. Each of us in this room, if we are honest with ourselves, have felt at some point or another in our lives a distance from God. We know what it's like to be separated from God. But here's the tragedy, and this is a big one. Some here today have never known anything but that. You've never understood what it's like to be close to God. It's always been that chasm. It's always been that separation. And here's a really sad thing. Many people spend their entire lives away from God and never, ever get close to God. Some people never experience. Some of our family members never experience. Some of our closest friends, unfortunately, some of our spouses will never, ever. The gap between them and God, you and God, was only and only can be filled with Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ, through that sacrifice, that gap, that chasm has been filled. Luke chapter 19 says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. That's us. We were lost and he came to save us. We were far away and he came to bring us near. Jesus came into the world to bring people close to God. Here's the, you want to know a truth? Everyone in this room, everyone watching online, every person in the atrium, we deserve death, but we don't get what we deserve. That's grace. And that's what Jesus did for us. So the very first thing we got to understand is Jesus Redeemer, he bridges that gap. Here's another thing that I just hope we can walk out of this room with just like this little truth. Jesus, our Redeemer, invites us to know, the God of the universe invites us to know him personally. Not corporately, not just because you live in the United States. Listen to what verse 9 says. I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. Through me. I love that little phrase. Through me. See, years ago what happened, there was a teaching that kind of entered the church and it crept in and it was one of those things that was like, there's no salvation found outside of going to a certain church. You had to be a certain denomination. You had to go. There's still churches, unfortunately, that say, listen, I don't care if you've been baptized before. That if you want to be a member of this church and you want to go to heaven, you want to know who Jesus is, you have to be baptized and a partner, a member of this church right here. And you know what I would say? Show me in the Bible where, listen, the thief's not even in heaven if that's the case. Think about that. He didn't go through that class. He didn't go to that certain church. He was a thief on the cross, his eyes shut on this side of eternity, open on the other side of eternity. He's gone, I don't know how I got here. Right? I was talking to Jesus. He said, come on, you know, today you'll see me. And then all of a sudden everything changed. Show me in the Bible that truth is, it's crept in. And through the years, it's not so much a matter of having your heart right with God. It's not a matter of, you know, having your life together. You know, it's become about paperwork. It's just about paperwork. Can we get all the paperwork together? Like I say something and I joke about this, but it's not a joke. When people ask Christ to be their savior here, a lot of times we don't have a record of it until baptism. That's why baptism is so important, because we don't have a secret room. I don't take it. Okay, everybody wants to get saved today. We're going to go to a secret room. We're going to do a secret prayer and I have the secret card to give you. We don't have any of that. You know why? Because it's not between me and you. It's between you and him. This is the public display of what's going on in the inside. Baptism is the place where we declare to the world who Jesus is in our lives. Not a card, not paperwork. And it's funny because there's even people like, if you don't go to this certain church or this certain denomination that does church this certain way, we're not even sure you're Christian. I'm going to tell you. So it's happened two times to me. It happened a couple weeks ago. It didn't happen to me exactly the way it happened the first time, but I'm sitting in Academy Sports, and I was going to buy some stuff for my pal. If that offends you, I'm sorry. So I needed a lot of things for my pal because I like shooting my pal. So I'm in the hunting area, the pow-pow area. And the guy walks up to me, and it's the second time, and maybe it's only an Academy Sport, or maybe I need to get saved, one or the other. I don't know what it is. This guy, young guy, everybody's young now, but this younger guy started telling me, like, hey, man, you know, if you were to die right now, what would happen to you? And I'm like, I'm game. Let's play. And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, you don't know what would happen if you die right now? I'm like, no, what would happen? He said, man, if you know Jesus, and he went on the whole, and I'm telling you, in my 34 or 5 years of being a Jesus follower, I've only had two people witness to me, and both of them have been in Academy Sports. So I don't know what Jesus is trying to tell me. Maybe don't go to Academy Sports. Maybe go there more often. I don't know. So I'm sitting in there, and so the guy, he's on, and it reminded me of what happened a couple years ago. Same kind of situation. The guy's leading me, and I played the game really well. For 5 or 6, 7 minutes, I played the game. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I got to let you off the hook, bro. Like, I know Jesus. I'm a Jesus follower. I've been a Jesus follower since, you know, 1982 or 83. I love Jesus. Thank you for everything that you're doing. The joker didn't stop. All of a sudden, he spun. He goes, what church you go to? He says, I go to the best church in town. And so, and you know I don't have a filter. If you're new here, I have no filter. So I don't have a problem saying like stupid stuff. So he's going on and the same, I think he was the same guy. So a couple years ago, the guy's talking to me. He's like, and our church does this, and our church does this, and our church does this. And I said, man, I got a great church. And he goes, what church you go to? And I said, Journey. And he went, oh. What do you mean, oh? And he goes, my pastor said that your pastor doesn't preach the gospel. Them are fighting words. So this is what I said, in Jesus' name, as kindly as I could possibly say it. You tell your pastor that my pastor can whip his tail. Name the date, the time, we'll throw down, right? Been working out. I got like a one pack right now. We're good. Like I can lift a little bit. I'm ready. Let's go. So, but isn't it funny? That's how we do things. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Jesus is not about paperwork. Jesus is not about a specific church. I have said multiple times, listen, Journey is not for everyone. I don't know why, but Journey's not for everyone. There's a lot of great, there's hundreds of great churches in this city. Being a Christian is not about, listen, John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. It has nothing to do with church membership. It's about knowing the Father. And Jesus, and he says in John 14, 9, have I not been, he's saying this to Philip, have I not been with you the whole time? And you don't recognize, and if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. It's all about a relationship. It's all about knowing. We must know the distinction. Here's the problem between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. There's a huge distinction. Huge. So how many people have somebody that right now, if I say, think about somebody they love dearly. How many people have somebody that name pops in, that face pops in your, okay. Why do you love that person? Is it because you know the color of their eyes, right? Is it because you know their name? Is it because you know where they were born? Is it because you know like the date? What was it? It's none of those things. It's when you look into that person's eyes and you see what's deep down inside. You see the love and the kindness and the tenderness and the joy and the laughter. That's what you're drawn. And how do you get to know that stuff? By spending time with them. It's not about a paper. It's not about, okay, you're 6'1", Bobby. And my wife, you know, she was taking notes this morning. So when I get home today, she goes, I love you because you're 6'1", and you look pretty good. And how you doing? Right? No, she loves me because she knows she loves me in spite of who I am. Well, there's a teaching right there, right? Jesus loves us in spite of who we are. But we love each other because of that. It's the same way with the Heavenly Father. How do you get to know the Heavenly? You spend time with Him. You're in His book. You're reading. You're studying. You're with other believers learning about Him. That's how you get to know the Father, not by coming to a certain church or filling out certain paperwork. You spend time with them. John 10, 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Let me ask a question. What's the number one priority in the Christian life? Is it being good? Is it being doctrinally sound? Is it knowing a long list of facts about the Bible? Is it quoting scripture? Is it going to church every Sunday? Is it Bible? No, it's none of those things. They're good. We want to do them. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians. Yes, everything else, all those things are worthless when compared with the infinite value of what? Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And then he says this, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage. You know what that word garbage is? It's a word, scubala. You know what it means? Poop. Scubala happens. You'll get that later when you're eating lunch. And you'll text me going, that was really good, Pastor Bobby. He says everything else, outside of knowing who Jesus is, nothing else is important. Let me give you the last thing. We'll close right here. Following Jesus, the Redeemer, is a daily experience. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an everyday, it's wake up morning. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Now, I want you to read this passage. There's this last part, because in mid-sentence, he changes the metaphor. He says, yes, I am the gate. The metaphor is the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. And he pushes pause. And this is what he says. They will come and go freely and find good pasture. And for years, I scratched my head. What are you talking about? So I go back to Psalms 23. It's not the same kind of idea right there. The come and go is really specific. It's talking about this. You come, you get to know Jesus, you're in his presence, you're learning his word, you're with people, all that, and then you go. And it follows suit with Matthew chapter 28. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So our faith walk, our Christian walk is about coming, getting to know the Father, and it's about going. It's about, you know, going out there and teaching the world about God's love, about truth, about all the, you know, the stuff that we learn. It's about going out that direction. But here's what I've learned. There's two tensions. Matthew chapter 10 says this. It says, heal the sick. This is what he tells us to do. Raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. And watch this. Give as freely as you have received. Here's one of the tensions that I have, and I see this in the church. People can't give what they don't have. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, if you're not spending time with Jesus, you can't go on the mission field and give away Jesus. Like, you can do good works out there and you can feed people and you can say you're doing in Jesus, but you can't give what's not inside of you. Does that make sense? And the second thing, and this is a huge, like, I'm not casting stones on anybody. Many people have gotten really good at the receiving part and don't do any giving. It's become us four no more. We're just going to go to our little Bible study. We're going to fill out our Bibles. We're going to color code everything. We're going to go to every prophecy conference. We're going to go to every worship. We're going to go see Maverick City. We're going to listen to, you know, Red Rock. We're going to do all this other stuff. And we forget that God has called us to go to the world and make disciples of all nations. So when he says, come and go freely, that's part of understanding the Redeemer. He doesn't want us just to be redeemed. He wants to be redeemers in the world that we live in. He wants us to take it to the world. So here's the question. Do you know Jesus today? Like, seriously, do you know Jesus? Do you know of Jesus or do you know Jesus? What's that look like for you? Do you know Jesus as the Savior of the world, as the Redeemer, or you just know him as a good person, maybe a teacher or a rabbi? If you know him as just a teacher or rabbi, today's a great day that you can cross over that line and say, you know something, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to do something special in my life. I need you as my Redeemer. I've been doing this stuff on my own for all these years. I've never made a decision to follow Jesus. And today could be your day. I believe there's some people in this room that you maybe made a decision years and years and years ago, but you've never taken another step. That was the last step you took. And today's a great day for our next step. Today's a great day to go, you know something, God, I'm going to give you my life. I want to make you not just Savior, not just escape from sin and hell. I want to make you Lord. I want to make you number one. I'm going to give you the bottom drawer that you want, you've been wanting for years. I'm going to give you the stuff that's hard to turn over to you. I'm going to give you all that stuff today. I'm going to make you Lord of my life. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to shut your eyes for a second. And this is a question. I joked about this a minute ago, but you know, we don't have a secret room. We don't have a special card. We don't have a special prayer. But what needs to happen is you need to have a conversation with the Heavenly Father. What needs to happen is you need to have that come to Jesus, literally come to Jesus conversation. And it may go something like this. Dear Jesus, in this moment right now, I recognize there's a huge chasm. And Jesus, I recognize that you're the one that fills that. You are the one that fills the gap. That's what the Redeemer does. And God, so because of that chasm that I can't cross by myself, that I'm unable to cross. You went to the cross for it. You went and died on the cross for me. That I recognize that that was the thing all by itself. Not paperwork, not being raised in a nation, not going to a certain church. That in and of itself is how I get to know you. And yet I pray that today that I would just not take you for granted. I would be understanding the in part of getting to know you, but I would also understand the out part of telling this world about the dangerous message of Jesus Christ, that we would make you famous in the world we live in. God, I'm praying that lots of people prayed that prayer, even people that know you prayed that prayer today, that they would want to know you more. Jesus, thank you for all you've done for us. It's in your name we pray, amen.
Thanks again for listening today. If you need prayer or help taking your next step, email our team at nextsteps@journeycommunity.net.